What have we? What? Is it that one? Right. No. Something going wrong here. I'm getting an echo back. Yeah. It's bad enough you lot having to hear me. I don't want to hear myself. This incident in the ministry of Jesus is one that often makes Christians feel a little bit uncomfortable. It rather spoils the lovely picture that we have of Jesus as a meek and mild hippie going around Israel dispensing sweetness and light in a cloud of heavenly music. It gives us a glimpse of the Jesus who, it appears, is quite capable of losing his temper and getting a little violent. But I'd like to suggest that it's actually showing us a great deal about who and what Jesus is. Indeed, it's showing us something extremely significant about God. Let me explain what I mean. The whole of the Christian belief is centered on one important fact, the incarnation. And the word incarnation means that God became human and walked upon the earth. And Jesus of Nazareth was fully man and therefore was subject to all the emotions and pressures that we all experience. But at one and the same time, he was fully God. The fact that God came to a dirty stable in a dusty Middle Eastern town as a fragile baby tells us a great deal about how God's desire is for a personal relationship with his creation. And God has always had this desire. Even in the Garden of Eden, we're told in Genesis chapter 3, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called the man, 'Where are you?'" God has always wanted that close intimacy with the people he had made. But because we can't go where God lives, he came to where we live. He became part of his own creation. God became man. He stood where we stand. He shared our world, our emotions, our pain, and our humanity. In the life of Jesus, we don't only see how we should come to God, but we also see how he came to us. Our text this evening tells us of the cleansing of the temple. And it's often assumed that the point of this story is the injustice of the excessive profits the traders were making in the house of God. Now, while this is undoubtedly true, I would suggest that it's also a demonstration of Jesus battling for the inclusion of all people. In the days of Jesus, the Jewish society was very class conscious. It was a culture littered with outcasts. A cruel but effective social system was firmly in place. People were either acceptable or unacceptable, clean or unclean, in or out, included or excluded. The physically and mentally disabled, tax collectors, slaves, Gentiles, prostitutes, and to a large degree all women, were considered beyond the pale. And right at the heart of this system of exclusion stood the temple, because the temple and all it represented was right at the heart of everything in Israel. For the Jews, the temple was where God lived. It was quite literally the house of the Lord. No wonder the attack that Jesus made on the temple caused such a sensation. The whole temple was considered holy ground, and it became more holy the deeper one got into the building. On the edge of the temple was the court of the Gentiles, which was accessible to Jew and Gentile alike. This was the temple outer court where the money changers did their business, exchanging Roman money for temple money. By Jewish law, the tithes and offerings given in the temple had to be in the Jewish currency. And this meant that the Roman currency, which was common because of the Roman occupation of Israel, had to be exchanged for Jewish currency. Hence the money changes at the temple. And as might be expected, the money changers took advantage of this situation and creamed off a good percentage for themselves. The next area of the temple was the court of women, accessible only to Jews, including their wives and children, although anyone with a physical disability was barred. Then came the court of Jews, which was accessible only to Jewish men. Then came the closely guarded section of the temple containing the altar for the sacrifice of animals, and this was only accessible to the priests. And at the centre of the temple was the Holy of Holies, the place where God lived, and this was only accessible to the high priest, and even he could only go in one day of the year. The effect of all this was that those people who most needed to encounter the God of love were unable to access the one place where they could meet him. The outcasts, the physically disabled, the poor, the Gentiles, women, children, were all kept firmly away from God. God was more securely guarded than any president or king in the whole of history. In this way, the temple acted as a huge filter to keep out those who were considered unworthy to be in God's presence. And in our account this evening, we see Jesus battling against this unjust system. And it really is a picture of God's rejection and anger at this exclusion. When Jesus overturned the money changers' table, the temple was thrown into confusion and chaos, and temporarily at least, the system ground to a halt. In the resulting confusion, those that were blind and lame pushed past the guards, rushed into the temple, into the place where they were not allowed to go, in order to find Jesus. And there he healed them without any need for the sacrifice of animals or the intervention of a priest. It was a demonstration of the whole purpose of the ministry of Jesus, throwing out the old stranglehold that the temple imposed and announcing that God was available to all. The temple cleansing was not a sudden spur of the moment idea or the action of a hot-headed Jesus. In his account of this incident in John's Gospel, we read, "So he made a whip out of cords and drove them all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and he overturned their tables." The fact that Jesus took time to make a whip out of cords makes it abundantly clear that this was a deliberate and premeditated action. The whole purpose of the coming of Jesus was to demonstrate that God is available to everyone, everywhere. In Jesus, God was showing that he was with his people and he was not confined to the prison of any religious building or institution. And as if to highlight this event more, just a few years after the death of Jesus, the temple itself was completely destroyed, and to this day, the temple has never been rebuilt. Surely this demonstrates that no building, however grand and impressive, can ever be considered God's house. It's very easy to condemn the Jews of the time of Jesus for their strict segregation of people according to class and condition. But if we're honest, such attitudes are still prevalent in our society today. Maybe not as strict and as unfair, but it's there just the same. But it was into that class-ridden society that Jesus was born, with a gospel that was good news for all people. From very early on in his ministry, Jesus earned the disapproval of the religious leaders for openly spending time with the very people they deliberately and intentionally shunned. Not only did Jesus welcome these outsiders, but he touched them and he ate with them and he included them. Those who were previously outcasts who were being drawn into a relationship with Jesus and with God. But this infuriated the leaders. But the truth is that people were always meant to be included. It was always God's desire to walk and talk and be in and with all of his people. It still is, and God welcomes us all and anyone who will come to him. If we are the church of God and we want to represent God in the world in which we live, then we must show that we're open to all. Yeah. I know that's at the heart of everyone here, and that we are a community church. To reach out to the community in which God has placed us and to try to show that God loves us all. He loves the rich and he loves the poor. He loves the clever and he loves those who are not so clever. He loves the able and the disabled. He loves the men, he loves the women, he loves the children. He loves the good, he loves the bad, and he loves the ugly. God came to earth as Jesus and adopted the form that we can recognise and identify with. He accepts the limitations of each of us so that he can communicate his love to us in terms we can understand. God comes to his people, meeting them where they are, rather than expecting them to come to him. Indeed, one of the names that is given to Jesus is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus was a tremendously attractive man. Although it's true that God came to earth, that Jesus went to the outcasts of his society, it's also true that people were drawn to him. Something about Jesus caused people to want to be around him. They liked him. He was good company. They travelled from miles around to be with him. That's how we are to be if we want our church and ourselves to be like Jesus. We're to be those that people want to be with. Yeah. Our task is to meet people where they are, but also provide the facilities and services that draw them to us. That is what the purpose of this church is. As our letterhead states, we are with God in our community, with God for our community. Above all, we need to realise that we all... excuse me. We need to realise that all we are, all we have, and all we do belongs to God. Yes. An American poet, Maya Angelou, once said, "Life is God's gift to us. What we do with it is our gift to God." Yes. To be Jesus to people is simply to love them as they are and where they are, and to help them achieve fullness of life here and now. And that's what Jesus was doing in the temple that day. He was breaking down the barriers of religious separation and bringing freedom to God's people. And that's what God calls us to do. To break down any barriers that we might have and throw open our hearts, our lives, our church to all who need and all who God will send to us. In the process, thank you. That was what Jesus was doing in the temple that day. He was breaking down the barriers of religious separation and bringing freedom to God's people. Yes. And that's what God calls us to do, to break down any barriers we might have and throw open our hearts, our lives, our church to all who God will send to us. In the process, we allow God to be with his people, in among his people, as part of his people. In the process, we will find that God changes us and we also get closer to God, who really cares and who wants to live in us and with us too. The message tonight is, God welcomes everyone. No one is excluded. Amen.